Welcome to Kid Missing Radio. I'm your host, Angelina Wilson. Today I'm all on my own, but I wanted to do an episode. I hope you enjoy it. Before I begin, I am very excited to give you this programming note. Our podcast has been picked up by Vrbl, V-U-R-B-L. Just another place where you can listen to this show. I want to talk about two cases today. First, I want to talk about the case of Mary Lozano. She was a four-year-old little girl who vanished from Venice, California on February 13th, 1969. She was a tiny four-year-old. She vanished from her bedroom in the middle of the night. Her neighbor saw a man standing in front of the sliding glass doors to her family home around 3 a.m. Police at that point came to the frightening realization she had been abducted by a stranger. That's absolutely horrifying. Mary had scars on her feet because she had extra toes that were amputated. Her parents and a disabled aunt were awakened by her cries for help, but thought that she was sleep talking. I guess it was something that she did, like got real upset in her sleep. To me, that is terrifying to think. And I also think that the parents probably were devastated. Her brother was in the bedroom with her. I don't know exactly how old he was, but I wonder if he was ever questioned about whether he saw someone. But according to sources, he didn't even wake up, which I find hard to believe if everybody else heard her screaming. The next case that I'd like to talk about is one that I mentioned briefly on Kid Missing TV, Summer Wells. She was 5 years old. She went missing from Rogersville, Tennessee. Her case is under investigation by the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, or the TBI, and their phone number is 1-800-TBI-FIND. And I'll repeat that again at the end. Summer went missing from her home on June 15, 2021. She was just 3 feet tall and weighed 40 pounds. According to her brother, she went downstairs to play in the playroom in the basement. The basement door was always open, or at least unlocked. They lived in a pretty rural area, so they didn't think much of it. I think those of us who grew up in those types of areas, didn't grow up with locked doors. I didn't. I didn't start locking my doors myself until I was an adult. Even living on Main Street in our little nothing town, we never locked our doors. We lived in a town of 3,000 people, you know, and we just didn't. It has ballooned to about 9, but it's still mostly rural. with a giant state forest in the middle. Anyway, it is the kind of place that she lived. She lived in the woods, so they just didn't think anything of it. It was the last time her brother saw her. So her mother called for her. When she didn't come upstairs, she thought that was odd because she listened pretty well. She was a good little listener. So she went down to look and she wasn't there. Wait a minute. Where is she? She went outside, running around looking, couldn't find her. And they don't really have volunteers in this case searching because of the terrain, because of the area. They wanted trained searchers, but they found hundreds of them. four canine teams, helicopters, and more. by the way, Mom was just outside with Grammy, so I'm not sure how anybody got her past them, unless the basement door was way in the back. Police have gotten over 900 tips in this case. Can you imagine 900 tips? What it takes to go through all that? And you know some of it is utter BS and just, you know, poop you have to wade through. And I think that's probably the most frustrating part, is wading through all the poop to find, you know, a gem in the doo-doo, you know, because some of those are about to be good tips. It's just wading through the 700 piles of doo-doo to find the good ones, you know. Now, unfortunately, there have been a lot of accusations made in this family, a lot of... Both of the parents had children from previous relationships, as well as the four children they had together, the three boys and the little girl. And so their lives were a little screwed up. There was drugs involved, and there was allegations of sexual abuse, not to Summer, earlier on in life, involved on the father's side of the family. Just a lot of stuff to unpack and unravel for authorities, not for me. Now, I know that the allegations have been made public, but again, I don't want to get into them. I will say that the father's stepmother wanted to call the police on him for her daughter. That's all I'll say. But his father allegedly didn't allow it. And like I said, the parents of this little girl were addicts. Now, I don't know if they are still actively using drugs, but... And interestingly, in 2009, Summer's aunt, Mom's sister, Rose Marie Bly, which is Mom's maiden name, vanished. Which is really weird. And just to give you an idea, for some reason these people moved around, because Mom is from somewhere in Wisconsin, rural Wisconsin, and Dad is from Ogden, Utah, Summer's parents. The mother, her name is Candace, made a weird call to the father's stepsister, fake crying and going on and on, and it was a total prank. This lasted for 12 minutes. Wow. Just wow. Why? In the middle of your child being missing, why would you call and say that police came and took your husband and you don't know where he's going? And just some of the things she was saying made no sense. You know, they had no basis in reality. Like, why would they be taking him to Boston? Which is one of the things that she claimed in the call. And it was just insane. The other children have been removed from the home. That seems to be standard protocol when there's a missing child for some reason. Both parents do have criminal records. Again, I won't get into it. As the brothers are in CPS custody, I surely hope that a professional, someone trained in children's interviews, has talked to them. Some of the pictures of Summer have her with a bob haircut, like my new haircut, and some have her with her head shaved, like a freaking buzz cut. She's a 5-year-old little girl. Sources say that Mom and Dad give different answers for why that was. Some sources say there was a lice outbreak. And the easiest way to deal with it, and a lot of people have actually confirmed that even back in the day, an easy way to deal with the situation was to shave the head. So that's not out of the ordinary or uncommon to do. I guess I didn't know that, but it sort of makes sense. Because when I was a kid in the 80s, 70s and 80s, we used bug shampoo, you know, Quell or whatever it's called, and washed our hair with that. So, I don't know if they did that, you know, or if, I don't know, you know, I don't know if they did it. Somebody suggested that maybe they did it because she wanted to be like her brothers. And that's definitely a possibility. I was a tomboy. I did everything the boys did, even if I failed at it. Which, believe me, a lot of times I did. Climbing trees was not easy for me. I was short. I was tiny. But I loved doing it. I loved climbing fences. I loved just running around playing cops and robbers and all that stuff. And I'm sure she did the same thing growing up with boys. You know, because I, too, grew up with boys. I grew up with my two male cousins, one 5 months older and one 11 months younger. So, basically, all the same age. And that's what I did. And I got into sports. Watching it, not doing it, I was terrible at sports. I played softball, and that was an utter disaster. And anyway, loved my coach. Now, earlier in the day, before the disappearance happened, the mother had taken the grandmother, who was living on their property. I think she was living in a trailer or something, because they had a huge piece of land, which had been left to them. And she had taken her for an appointment, and either she had called this boy, or this boy had called her, I'm not sure which. He was 15. Her oldest son is 12, so, you know, that's not totally unusual. Although she left the kids home alone except for the little girl when she took the mother. And she called him and said, you want to hang, you know, you want to come and go swimming with us and stuff. And, oh, okay. And his mother said that was fine because I guess they'd had a small falling out, but they had been best friends forever. So, you know, for a really long time. So she said, yeah, he can go with you. I'm just glad that they didn't let whatever happened between them affect the relationship that the child had with the mother and her children. So they went swimming, the little swimming hole. Kind of reminds me of the little swimming hole up by West Hill Dam, the way they described it. And someone said that the boy, now, I didn't hear the little boy say this, but I say little boy, he was 15, that something that might have happened to Summer was that he had saved her from a near drowning, and that hours later, she may have succumbed to something called dry drowning. Now, dry drowning is when you've had a situation like that, and later, hours later, you die. You essentially drown later. It's like delayed drowning. It's a thing. Look it up. It's weird. But again, that's what one source said was a possibility. But if that were the case, why would the mother have immediately called 911? Now, I know, yeah, the mother had a cell phone. Why didn't she immediately call 911 if that was the case? There is a picture of the little girl that day laying on 2 gallons of milk in the back seat. It was a hot day. It was June. It's Tennessee. Sound asleep. Some people have said, oh, she's dead in that picture. No. Look at that picture. She's sleeping. I even said that to my mother. I said, she's sleeping. Look at her little hands. if you see the picture, sorry, I keep saying, you will see, like I said, she's leaning over on, it was probably hot and it felt good, onto the milk, asleep, and you can see her little hands kind of flopped and partly open but partly closed in that sort of little kid way. I don't know how to explain it. Even adults do it, I suppose. So you could just tell by looking at her that she was asleep, even looking at her face, that she was not dead, like a lot of people said. I know in their right mind would take a picture of their child dead and then post it everywhere. I'm sorry, even an addict has more sense than that. So anyway, the boy states that while he was with them, they were going through a drive-thru, they got some food and stuff. Candace got a call from her husband saying that there had been a perv hanging around the neighborhood. Now, nobody's sure how he would know that because he was at work at the time. Had he gone home for lunch and saw a strange vehicle? I just don't know. Had somebody from the neighborhood, a good friend of his, called him? I don't know. Doesn't look like the houses are very close together. If you look at the aerial photo, there's a lot of acreage there. So it's confusing. If you have an answer, let me know. You can contact me, by the way, at kidmissingtv@icloud.com. And if you have a case you want me to do, if you want to be a guest, if you know somebody who might want to be a guest, or like I said, a case you want me to research and do here or do over on my YouTube, which is Kid Missing TV. Like I said, email me, kidmissingtv@icloud.com. You can also contact me via Twitter, Facebook, again, Facebook, Angelina Wilson, or Kid Missing's Facebook page, or the Finding the Missing Children Facebook page, both of which I run. You can even contact me, for all I care, through the Crossroads Variety Crew Facebook page that I run. That's a Facebook page for a store that a bunch of us hung at, worked at, were a family at. And so many are passed on that I wanted those of us who are still alive to have a place of remembrance. So that's why I set that up. But if you find that first and you meant that and you message me there, great. You know, wherever you want to message me, DM me on Twitter, Kid Missing, Kid Missing One. I also have another Twitter, PS1 Girl, in case you're wondering what that is. No, it's the, it's PS1 is the Phenomenal AJ Styles one. Number one, in other words. So you can DM me there. Like I said, you can get me, write on my blog. Somebody even contacted me on Pinterest, for gosh sakes, under Angelina Wilson. So anywhere you want to. Anyway, back to the case. So how did Dad know that there was this perv hanging around? Now, something that struck me in this case when the 15-year-old was talking was that this woman gave him a twisted tea. A twisted tea, by the way, is an alcohol drink. I think it contains the same alcohol amount of alcohol as beer, if not. I'm not sure, but I think it contains the same alcohol amount of alcohol as beer. It's you can get Mike's Hard Lemonade or you can get Twisted Tea. Both made by the same company. Why would you give that to a 15-year-old? You're a mother of, I think in total, 6. And you give a 15-year-old alcohol? Then drop him back off at his mother's house and you don't expect... Well, I guess maybe he thinks he's cool and wouldn't say anything, but he did. He wound up talking, when he was talking to a podcaster, he told the gentleman, and the gentleman found a picture on his phone and showed it to him, because there's a video on YouTube about this, and showed it to him. He said, yeah, that's what she gave me. I have to wonder, did this kid know there was alcohol in the drink? I mean, you would have had to taste it. So, but he just so innocently told that she gave it to him. It wasn't like he was being malicious or anything. So I just wondered if he thought the amount was so small it didn't matter, or, you know, of alcohol or whatever. I just don't know why he thought nothing of it. His mother was sitting there when he told the guy. So obviously he doesn't keep things from his mother, which is a good thing. You know, I was a kid, told my mother everything, drove everybody else crazy. Again, I want to remind you of the phone number, 1-800-TBI-FIND. That's 1-800-TBI-FIND. If you have information about the case of Summer Wells. On Monday, on Kid Missing TV, we will be discussing our last case of the month of October. The case of... I don't have the cases in front of me. Let's see. We did on Wednesday the case of Thomas Mewes. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Which was an interesting case. And this week, we have the case of Jessica Gutierrez, little 4-year-old girl. Interesting case. Sorry about that. Had to go look. I have a calendar where I keep my cases. And actually, that's not the last case this month. The last case this month will be after that, and it will be the case of Bobby Pinkman. And this week, when you see the videos, you'll see the debut of my new haircut. as I mentioned on... Hold on. Shh. Mentioned on... Yes! Sorry. Mentioned on the video before that... I would be doing multiple videos and uploading. And that's what I've been doing. I've been doing about 3 per weekend, 2 or 3 per weekend, to have them as backup in case I get sick. And plus, all the other people that I know on YouTube have their videos in the can ahead of time. So it just made more sense. Saves time, too. So you don't have to make the video. Then put the video on the computer. Then edit it. Then upload it. It's just a pain. So if I can already have it on the chip, stick that in the computer, edit it, which takes a very short time unless it's a more involved edit. And I'm very proud of my first more involved edit, which was Melissa Highsmith, where I actually added audio from my Commission Radio program with her brother. So check that out. Check out all my videos, please. Please check out all of the rest of Kim Missing Radio. I'm blown away, not only at the response to my videos. I'm getting comments left and right, which I love. I'm getting new subscribers left and right, which is amazing. Last I looked, I was up to 106. I am doing amazing on here, you know. I know I don't post a lot of content on here, and it's just because I have trouble getting guests. It's a delicate process to say to a family member, you know, you want to come on my show and talk about the worst things that ever happened to you in your life. You know, it's not something you just do lightly. Because oftentimes it is the very worst thing that's ever happened in their lives. You know, and I'm still upset that over half my shows that were over on Blog Talk never made it over to Anchor because I couldn't download them. Because they took them away. Yet if you look for them, they're still there. They're just empty files, which is really stupid, in my opinion. If anybody has any idea how to retrieve those files, let me know. Because some of those are really important to me. You know, when you have the emotion that I had of Gina Degrenes from Canada, I was able to redo some of the interviews, Jesse Foster, for example. So, but it just, it's awful, you know? I feel like I let people down, you know, by not being able to, I guess I assumed, you know, they say about assume, that I could still download my intellectual property, even though that they were removing it from them. They would still give me the ability to download my intellectual property because it belongs to me. I did the work. And it's irritating. And they will not talk to me because I was not a paid, am not a paid member of Blog Talk. So they won't even talk to me. They won't even dignify me with a response. So, but thank you for letting me rant a little bit on that event because it still bothers me. It really does. And it's been almost a year since I've been over here on Anchor. And I want to thank Anchor because they were amazing from day one. I mean, they emailed me back and forth and back and forth until we got this thing straightened out. Because Blog Talk tried to block this too. And Anchor was amazing. And I thank my friend Mo for getting me on Anchor. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Again, contact me at kidmissingtv@yahoo.com. Well, that would work too, but kidmissingtv@icloud.com. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.